very important person there is Joe Mountain. Now, I don't know whether, again, I doubt if either of you knew him, but Joe was way up there, a deputy or assistant surgeon general, and a great public health innovator, so on. And he had the notion of setting up community health, community heart disease programs. And as it turned out, there were two of them set up in the Boston area, affiliated with Dave Rutstein's Department of Preventive Medicine. One was headed by a guy named Robbins in Newton. And it was a sort of a heart disease control demonstration project. And the other one was set up in Framingham under the directorship of a very young Dr. Gilson Medders, M-E-A-D-O-R-S, whose name is on, I guess, the first publication that came out, but for reasons which are not a necessary part of the story, Gilson was replaced by Roy Dover, yeah. It's never Tom, it was always Roy.
Right. What were those reasons you
meant? Well, I'd rather... Okay. They were quite irrelevant to the to the story. But it was bad for Framingham and good for Framingham. Gilson had the original idea, and there's no way that anybody should take that away from him. He had, I think, did he get his MPH at Hopkins? I think he did. But he knew about the very famous St. Andrews study by Sir, what's his name? McKenzie.
He's McKenzie.
Right.
He's the first cardiologist interested in prevention.
That's right. And that's all written into the first Framingham publication. But that tells the history, starting with McKenzie.
Okay.
And it says what we intended to do, and by God, that's what we did. Now, because of the shift and the lapse of time in bringing in a new director and everything, we lost almost a year's headway at Framingham. And it wasn't a total disaster. We tried to rescue it. We made some compromises, which in retrospect I wouldn't have done. But you couldn't throw away all the work that had been done. Now, what Medders had the right idea. He was going to do... he was going to get the community, which was away from Boston, but where he could have the prestigious Boston cardiologists help front for the project, which they did magnificently. Paul Dudley and
Howard Sprague,
Sam Levine.
Yeah.
They had started out with, and they had a very active health educator, you know, as those people are. They were gung-ho. They were going to get the whole community back of this thing. So the first thing that they did was to get the president of Denison Company and Family to come in for examinations. Denison, you know, is the one that make all these little pieces of paper. They were the best known family in town. There were only two other industries, one a GE plant, assembly plant, and the other, Westclox, which was not actually in Framingham, but right on the fringe.
Okay, so he lined up the industry.
Then every person who came in was supposed to bring in 10 more persons, and you know, the old, what game do you call it, the pyramid or,
chain letter.
Chain letter type of thing. And people just flocked in.
So it wasn't by any grid method,
I think Tilson always had some notion that maybe he'd get around to do that sometime, but I don't think he ever would have. It was because this thing was being so successful. Mm-hmm. And when I first came into contact with this, they had literally almost a year's background of backlog of reservations.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or appointments. Yeah. And you know, this is just, boy, clean sailing. Well, in the first place, the decision had to be made whether Hart Institute would take this over. And I went up there with Van Slyke and Jim Shannon, and we spent two or three days there. And when we came back, I wrote a memorandum recommending to Van Slyke that the Hart Institute take over.
When was that?
That was in... Well, let's see. I went out there. I went out to NIH in late '48, so it's either late '48 or early '49. Okay. And but the decision was made not to take over the demonstration project in Newton. That was appropriate for the downtown public health service, because the interest at NIH was primary research, and not. Demonstration or operation.
But I got the impression that the initial, this is my ignorance about planning, initiative came from Joe Mountain.
But that's right.
From Rutt's team.
It was Joe Mountain, yeah. And Joe Mountain was downtown, yes.
Oh, he was downtown?
Yes, he was downtown. Well, he was never NIH.
Oh, he was downtown Washington.
Downtown, yeah. We always talked about the downtown public health service, which was in the FSA.
So it wasn't SPHS, but it wasn't Hart Institute.
That's right, right. Both of them had been downtown because there wasn't any Hart Institute. So the Hart Institute, which was going to ultimately have a lot more money and didn't have much of a research program, took over this. Just remember Schock's operation in Baltimore, the gerontology?
Yeah.
They, in the same sense, they took that over. And that was part, at one time, that was part of the Hart Institute, and then dealt off to an institute for aging or something like that.
Well, the common knowledge, when I got in this field, was that you had set Framingham up on a sound basis in terms of sampling and sample size.
Right.
And you're suggesting here that actually the sampling never did come in.
No. What I did was impose the grid.
Oh, okay.
There was a Framingham, like many of the other Massachusetts towns,
right.
You know, as a central built-up area and surrounded. It would be a township or a small county in Western terms. They had a census of inhabitants, which they got out every year. And... it was not just a, it was a register of voters, but it was a census of inhabitants. It had names and addresses and ages. So that I had in hand, and at the time of the 1950 census, I had this checked out by the Census Bureau, and they assured me that this thing was about 97% complete. The Census Bureau, I couldn't see the original returns, of course, because those are confidential. But I could give them the book and say, will you match it against your records? And so we got that. So we had that assurance, although that was late in coming. But I had other assurances that this was, in fact, quite good on a house-to-house canvas basis. So figuring that we could handle about 6,000 people in the study, and there were 10,000 people of the appropriate ages, and we decided on 30 to 59. I simply imposed this on the what had been done already, said we'll draw the sample from the list, and then anybody who is already signed up is in the sample. Those we've committed to, we'll go ahead and give examinations to, and the rest of them we'll try to, you know,
follow this.
Get them in. So we drew 6,600 names, and on the theory, although we thought of this as a study of disease among males, we figured, and this is where the health educator came in, I think she was right, that if we got the woman to come in, she'd drag the man along. Okay. And I think that pretty well worked out. In other words, we used that kind of pressure, and I felt, and I think others did too.
But your computations of expected incidence were made in men?
On men, yeah. Okay. And that about, and for political reasons, if we drew anyone from a household within the eligible ages of 30 to 59 as of 1950, then we would draw everybody else in the household who was eligible age. So we would get the husband or the wife or anybody else by the same name, in other words, relatives of the husband. So it was ad hoc sort of sampling. I don't think anybody ever tried doing this exactly the same way.
Well, that's why you got so many husband-wife pairs, though.
Oh, that was definitely done. And nobody has really ever done any analysis of the husband-wife pair proposition, and that's unfortunate. We essentially guessed at a 1% per annum incidence of a diagnosable coronary heart disease, and figured that in 10 years that would give us enough for some kind of analysis, but we set out 20 years as the target.
Okay.
Now, Jim Shannon, so far as I know, never objected to that memorandum. And again, I don't know how you want to handle this. I think Jim Shannon's a great guy, but he's no epidemiologist. And I think Jim Shannon always felt when he was clinical director in the Heart Institute that every nickel that was spent at Framingham was being taken away from his labs. You know, he either had to be in the laboratory or at the bedside. And I'm sorry to say that Berliner continued exactly the same. I went and talked with Berliner personally after I was long out of the Heart Institute. I was on either two or three different committees. Everyone unanimously recommended the continuation of Framingham, and just as unanimously they'd have a big fight back at Building 1 to save the money.
They're still fighting.
Still fighting, that's right. So they had to go out and get grant money and piece it together here and there. And Fredrickson was a little more favorable because he wanted to get the blood samples on a community basis, and there was something in it for him. And some of the others I thought were friendly. I organized the processing of the data. I did all of the analysis in this first report, and one other one, which Tavia Gordon is principal author of and deserves a great deal of credit for, which was a sort of methodological analysis, which was an analysis of response and so on. Now, subsequently, Tavia decided that there was not enough difference between what we called our SX sample and the sample, that is, the volunteers. So he merged those with the original sample. And I have no objection to that. There was a certain amount of self-selection. We knew that. People who are going to die very soon of heart disease stayed home. And people who moved away were in general. And we looked at those who moved between the first exam and the second exam. They got examined were generally healthier than those who stayed. And I think this is inevitable in any sort of epidemiological study. So I never felt that we needed to apologize for the fact that we didn't get anything like, we got 66%. But then that loss includes all the people who died before we could get to them, and or who moved away before we could get to them. And because of this long delay in getting through, took us 4 years to get around the first sample, we had much larger losses from those reasons than we would have had if there had been an ordinary, we thought we could cover this in 2 years. And essentially it's covered on a 2-year cycle, as you know now.
And did you set up a 2-year cycle?
Yes.